Hello. Can you do a check? Like, can you say something?
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Mic check. Mic check.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Who's your favorite artist?
Me.
James Tyrell.
My dog.
Hello and welcome, listeners. Are you a starting artist? You just left art school or are going towards the end of it? Or maybe you're self-taught. You just started making your way into the scene. Well, then this podcast is for you. Just like a lot of your colleagues, you're probably struggling. Paying rent, paying your energy bills, buying groceries, buying your art supplies, inflation. But you manage, working 2-3 days or 32 hours a week, in a coffee shop or as a waitress. Some of you just call their parents. You're here on this world to make art. To make pretty things or ugly things. Things that change people's minds. There really is no other option. And that is why we, as in Gallery Bart and myself, Geert, make this podcast series. To try and make life a little bit easier for you and your starting career. The podcast has a slight focus on the Dutch art scene, but should come in handy for all starting artists from over Europe. In this first episode, I talk with 4 starting artists. How's life for them? How do they see their future? And what exactly are their challenges right now? But moreover, what information could be useful for them? In the episodes that follow, I will talk with experts. I want to challenge them to give you tools that might be helpful. But in this episode, we start with all the problems a starting artist could encounter. So I would like to invite my guests to spit it all out. Let all the drama float into the mics. This is the first episode, The Big Void. So, my guests are all young talents. They, at the moment of recording, have a group exhibition at Gallery Bart. This show represents 20 artists. The gallery asked 10 of their artists to pair up with a younger talent, and so they did. I'm talking way too long here, so at the count of 3, I would like you all to say your name. 1, 2, 3.
Oliver.
Okay, so we're going to do that again, but then we start with my right side.
Well, I'm Daan. I was born in Soest in the Netherlands, a small town near Utrecht. Currently living and working in Amsterdam. I studied photography at the HKU in Utrecht. And I graduated in 2020 during COVID. So there was not, it was fun.
I'm Emily. I was born in Engelskirchen in Germany, a very tiny town. I currently study in Groningen. I am still studying. I'm in the 3rd year now, so still 2 more years to go. Study fine art.
And you live in?
I live in Assen, so yeah, to study in Groningen.
Because of the nightlife?
Yeah, very spectacular in Assen.
My name is Annabel. I'm 24. I was born in Delft and I studied at the HKU in Utrecht. And I studied graphic design and I currently live and I work also in Rotterdam.
My name is Oliver. I originally come from Nijmegen. I studied in Breda at St. Joost. I studied graphic design and modern art.
All right, thanks. And next to these 4 artists, there's also Tess Prie. He's part of the exhibition as well. He's an artist that is born in Togo and still lives there. So that is the reason that he's not here, because he lives in Togo. Togo is an African country next to Ghana on the west side of the continent. Before recording this podcast, he answered me some questions, how it is to be a starting artist in this African land. So to start off with the big void. Emily, when I called you a little while ago, you said that after finishing art school, then comes the big void. Can you explain why that is?
Well, I don't know firsthand because I'm obviously still studying.
That is true, yeah.
So far, I could avoid the big void. But it's, yeah, kind of this myth that, yeah, you hear everywhere and like be prepared because after art school, there will be the big void. I guess it has something to do with the fact that while you are in school, you have this environment where people are kind of like showing interest in your work and giving feedback and caring about the process or something. And I guess that just, yeah, suddenly drops once you're out of school. Yeah, because you don't have the safe environment anymore and, yeah, have to be very independent suddenly and see where you can find this safe environment again or build it yourself or something.
Yeah, and you have to earn money as well.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Yeah. Oliver, you also said it's hard work escaping the big void. Can you explain what working hard is?
Working hard is keeping track of opportunities to stay connected to the field, to stay connected to the different open calls available, to reach out to new mentors, to have a dedicated art practice. And that means, for me at least, it is an art practice of around 3 days per week. So that's working hard for me, keeping in track everything we learned at the academy and everything we did at the academy to keep that in balance and to keep doing it.
And how many hours a week do you work as an artist? And do you work besides that as well, like something different?
It varies. At the moment, I'm unemployed. I'm in a big void right now. I think out of us, I'm the most fresh out of the academy. I'm a post-COVID graduate. So I graduated in 22. So I had a physical exhibition, luckily. So it depends on the week. This week I did the 48-hour film festival, plus then 2 studio days. And then, well, I'm unemployed. So not much work, but it's going to look like I have to work for 3 days in a week. Which comes around to 24 hours of physical work, and then the rest is all for my art practice.
And what kind of work are you looking for then?
I'm looking for a quite simple job to keep my energy for my art practice. I'm also a graphic designer, and I figure that if I go into a graphic design job, most of my energy will go towards graphic designing, and I don't know if I have enough mental capacity to do a deep dive into art as well, into a more commercial sector.
And Dan, you told me you work for the film museum, right?
That's right, yeah.
How many hours a week do you work there?
Yeah, it depends. It's not, yeah, this month I work about 25 hours a week, but some weeks more, some weeks less. So yeah, it really depends on which week it is. And I also have another side job of 6 hours a week. So it's, in the end, I guess, almost 30 hours in total.
What is the side job?
I'm a buddy. So helping an artist, and he is almost blind and deaf in one ear. So helping him with making artworks and also more practical things in the house.
So 30 hours a week, that's like a Swedish full-time job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, but it's really the hours at the film museum are mostly in the evening. So then I also have the daytime to just go to the studio and make work. But in the end, it's a working day of 9 in the morning till 11 in the evening. So it's a really long day.
Yeah, and when do you see your friends?
The evenings I don't work, or in the weekend. So yeah, there's some time left.
And Emily, you are still at school, right? So how's that for you? Like the working, do you work beside that?
Yeah, I don't have a structured job, but I'm, yeah, a little bit diving into tattooing, which is quite nice because I get requests from friends and friends of friends. So every now and then I get to earn a little bit of money. It's not very much an official job yet, but it's nice when it turns into one, because then I'm quite flexible with kind of structuring my time myself. Yeah, and it would also be something that could help me through the potential big void because it would be something that I'm already doing and already a little bit used to, and maybe people spread the word and then I can have a source of income maybe.
Did you tattoo yourself as well?
Yeah, I practice on myself.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
On your arms or on your leg? Or?
Yeah, legs predominantly, yeah.
Okay, cool. And do you have a job next to your art?
So I work 32 hours a week in a hotel in Rotterdam. It's a really nice job because the people that work there, they're super nice. And when I have like busy moments, sometimes they're happy with being flexible for me. But in the end, 32 hours is actually a lot. I try to work at least 1 or 2 days a week in my studio, but oftentimes when I'm tired or if it's busy at work, I want to see friends. It's usually quite impossible to actually like punch out work, especially the first few months after the academy. I was just super stressed about rent and paying rent for my studio as well. I didn't want to lose my studio and food and like getting all my stuff in order, shit up order, but then in English, like I want to get my shit together,
organize.
I guess. Yeah, I want to organize my life. And like, it's such a big skip from, just working a side job. And then the main thing is the academy. And then you work like maybe 2 days a week for extra money. And then in the end, it's like the roles are kind of switched, that the main time is now something non-art, and then the side job becomes the art, and then you're thinking, oh, but I want to do this, and it should be the main thing, but you're forced to, because in the end, I mean, for me, these past few weeks, I've been preparing for a show in my own studio, and I think I've been working 8 hours a day then in the hotel, and then I would do another like 4 or 5 hours in the studio, and then day after day after day, and at some point, it's like, why am I doing this?
And did you ever thought of quitting your art, like being an artist?
Actually, no. No, I just like really focused like, okay, this is my goal and I will do anything to reach this goal, and even though it's shit and maybe I'll have to compromise here and there, but I've never really thought about quitting it. No, it wasn't really on my mind, to be honest.
And what is your goal?
That I can make money off my art and in the end like not have the art as side job but as the main job. I think that's the goal for me.
Is that everybody's goal?
Yeah, I think so.
In a way, yeah.
C'est à faire le dessin pour mes camarades de classe. Je dessinais souvent pour mes amis pour.
Well, and I need to come back to Tespri, because I asked Tespri and he said he's really happy. If you see his art, you think, yeah, this is a happy guy. He can actually live from his work as an artist right now, so that is really good for him.
When did he graduate?
Well, Tespri didn't go to an art school. He says about that there are a few artists. Creation centers in Togo to train young artists, but not really a real art academy. So he's self-taught.
Oh.
And how he started with his art is he was in college. He started drawing for his classmates. And he says, I often drew for my friends for their love letters to their girlfriends. And very often I sold drawings to make a little money. So he sold his love drawings. That is pretty commercial. And now he's selling his art and can live from that. A way to earn money is next to working 32 hours a week. A way to earn money is apply for a subsidy or for like a fund. Did any of you try that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dan, to start off with you.
This year I tried to get funding from Mondrian Fonds and I didn't get it. So yeah, it wasn't really much of a good feeling. So that's my latest experience. But with my graduation work, I also got funding because I won a prize. But it wasn't really much of writing like a proposal. It was like a really short proposal and they chose 3 people who won. So yeah, I was lucky with graduating, but I wasn't really lucky with Mondrian in the end. So yeah.
And what is the prize that you got?
It was 10,000 euros for a year, so
free to use for.
Well, yeah, it was 2,500 was for mentoring and some other more practical and entrepreneurship trainings, and the other 7,500 was for buying materials, printing stuff, just to make work. So yeah, it was really helpful also because we had the mentoring. So it was like kind of an extension of the graduation year to just not actually start on your own, but have some kind of guidance in the first year after graduating.
And the Mondriaan Fonds, what can you get when you apply for the Mondriaan Fonds?
Then it's 20,000 for a year for the, I think it's called, Kunstenaar Start.
Yeah, so that's like a sort of basic income for like to live a year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's also pretty flexible in what you pay from it, because you can also pay your rent from it if you want to, or the rent of your studio. And the prize I won with the graduation wasn't able to pay the rent of my studio, just materials and stuff. So I think Mondriaan is also more helpful to just work less at your side job and to really focus on just making work.
How many people apply for the Mondriaan Fonds, you think?
I don't know. I think a lot, but I don't know the number. No.
I believe you said something that like you saw there was like 100 people that got it in a year. Is it true?
Yeah, when people get the fund, they show it on their website. So there's a list every time that they give the funding to young artists. So yeah, I looked at all. There was four moments in 2021 when they gave the funding to people, and I think there was about 100 people who received it. So that's actually also already a lot.
Did any of you apply for the Mondriaan?
I didn't apply to the Kunstenaar Start, but I thought I would like start easy. And there was one for Venice, to like travel to Venice as a network event, and they wanted like a diverse group of people to go there. So I applied for that one, and that was the moment I realized you have to be 12 months graduated from the Art Academy, and until those 12 months end or start, you're not allowed, or you won't be applying to anything and won't be getting anything.
And the Kunstenaar Start, you have to do to get within 4 years, right? So
yeah, so after 1 year and then within 4 years after graduating, I guess. Yeah.
Other subsidy or funds that focus on starting artists?
I think there's one at Roodkapje in Rotterdam, but it's quite, I think it's more of a residency, but I think it's quite open, but it's much less than the 20K. It's more of a bonus than something you can rely on, I think.
And it's local?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I recently applied for PictoWrite Steunfonds. So that's, I think it was because of Corona or something. And I think that's also for young artists, but it's I think 1,000 euros, so it's also not really much, but it's kind of helpful.
Is it difficult to apply for the Mondriaan?
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It's like the biggest part is to just reflect on your work and write about it, and about who you are as a maker, what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing. And I thought I knew all of this after graduating, but in the end you actually don't know, because you're writing it down and you're thinking like, yeah, why am I doing this, and why should they give me the money to make work, and why is it relevant for people to see? So that's a big part of it. And in the end, you also have to make a kind of a global plan for the next year and how you want to use the money. That's also really difficult, but in the end, it's also kind of a global global plan. So I think the most difficult part is to write about yourself and your work. So I think it took me about 3 months or 4 months to write it, maybe more.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And then they said no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a lot of explanation about...
No. There was no explanation. And then I had to ask for explanation. And it was really, kind of a standard text that they, I think, sent to a lot of people. So I only had more questions after receiving it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's quite scary, to be honest, when you see like the Mondriaan Fonds website and the checklist and like 3 pages explanation work, 3 pages CV, include this and prizes and this. Like, I don't have a prize, help. And it's a lot, and it's quite scary.
So maybe you didn't apply because of all the work you have to put in.
No, I wasn't allowed to because it was 12 months. Yeah, I'm planning to in the future, like just as a practice without thinking about getting anything. But I think the process of writing the application itself, it's kind of like art school all over again. Like if you're a bad writer, are you then also a bad artist? And then who knows?
I hear there are people that get help from the outside, like applying for pneumonia funds, they hire somebody to help them. What do you think about that?
That exists?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big secret.
Oh.
It's okay, right?
Yeah.
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 I'm also thinking about it now. I don't know. I'm not really good at writing. So, yeah. Maybe if I'm going to apply for Mondrian Fonds next time, I'm going to ask someone to write it.
Yeah, but you're an artist, not a writer, right?
So yeah, exactly.
People
yeah.
should write about you.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, true.
But it costs you money, right? Like, or you have a friend or...
Yeah, but I think it's also, how do you call it? No cure, no pay. So if you don't get the money, then you don't have to pay. But if you get the money, you pay... I think it's 1,000, but you get 20,000, so then maybe it's kind of worth it. So, yeah.
How are things in Germany?
I'm not so sure, to be honest. I know that I didn't really like the whole application procedure at German art schools, especially the big ones. I always found those a bit elitist and like you better know people who are already in school who can kind of recommend you and then you somehow get in. But they're very exclusive. Well, especially the big ones, of course, where a lot of people want to study. And I think it's similar with funding as well. Yeah, I don't know any concrete funding. I know that it exists, but I don't think it's a lot more accessible than here in the Netherlands. I can't imagine because everything here is more accessible than there. So
you would say it's easier over here than in Germany?
I would assume that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I asked the Spree about it as well, and they don't really are funds in Togo. Well, they are growing a little bit, but it's really like small amounts, like 1,000 or 2,000 euros, things like that. So insignificant. In preparation of the show, for me, it became clear that in general, there is a lack of lessons in entrepreneurship at art schools. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oliver?
Yeah. We had some lessons in entrepreneurship, which ranged from how much can you ask for a certain piece. We looked at multiple of Mondrian Fonds applications because one of our teachers used to work at Mondrian Fonds, so he got approval from some artists for us to look into the applications, which was really helpful. We looked at the hybrid art practice, the 24-hour work week in combination with your art practice and all the different methodologies to make money. But still, there are gaps in knowledge.
And how is that for you?
I think close to nothing, or at least nothing that was applicable to me.
Close to nothing.
Yeah, because I studied graphic design and my practice is not very in the borders or ranges of like traditional graphic design. So the classes that they did have for entrepreneurship, for example, were not applicable to me. So yeah, I think in the end, it didn't really help out because at most art schools, at least in the Netherlands, they're quite broad with, okay, you study graphic design, but it doesn't have to be traditional. Many people go a more autonomous route. Some people make film, for example. It's quite normal to jump out of that traditional box. But in the end, the education doesn't fit the same vision they have on that, I guess, or maybe it's still growing. So yeah, close to nothing.
So Oliver says like the pricing your work, are there any like concrete examples that you have a lack of knowledge in?
Yep, pricing work, for example. What funds actually are and what they can mean to you. I had no idea that you actually had classes how to price your work. I was quite shocked, actually. Yeah, I had no idea there was like an actual like rule about like the scale and the size. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's an actual rule yet, but this So it's not an actual rule yet, but there are more like guidelines to make a more even playing field for artists. Like, I think it's Stichting Aanvraag, Kunst Aanvraag, of Aanvang, Platform BK, who are really focused on making a global calculation on how you can calculate the price. So that's, I think it was length plus width times factor. A factor is an imaginary number, and I think the rule is something around an artist who is in still in art school is around a factor 7, and recently graduated with some exposition experience is like around factor 10, and then a more renowned artist would be around factor 20.
How big is the work that is at the exhibition?
Your work? My work is around 170 times 140.
Plus
40.
Right, okay, let's calculate.
You can calculate it. I honestly can't remember which factor I used. It could be around 7 or 10.
Oh, but you actually use this guideline?
Yeah,
to...
I use this guideline. And this guideline is, they have a website in which you can calculate it. And they also have an honorarium calculator.
But is there also a way to incorporate the production costs of the work? Because with photography, it's also the printing costs and the framing and all these kinds of things. But
yeah, these guidelines are, I think, mostly made for paintings. Yeah. So you can take it as a guideline. In this case, my work is somewhat in the tradition of paintings. So I use the calculation as is. But the calculation for a series of prints, for example, is way different. I still haven't figured out what an average price of a print should be.
So once again, your size was 140 plus?
170.
And you said factor?
7 or 10, I don't know.
Well, if we do it factor 7, it's 2,170 euros.
That's about right, yeah.
Okay, cool. So pricing, we've got it covered. There's a website. We're going to put it in the show notes. tax administration. Did you learn that?
No.
Nope. Avoid. Oh. Avoid.
So no. And financial accounting, probably. Yeah.
No. A little bit. Yeah. But more so on my previous education than on the Art Academy.
And any help writing of applying for subsidies? Like, did you learn how to do that?
No.
Not really.
We're going to the final subject. So we've covered like the subsidies, like that's a way to earn money. Other way to earn money is to sell work. Do you guys sell work? Is it going all right?
Yeah, sometimes, but it isn't enough to live from. It's more like additional to the side job, which is, yeah, strange.
And how's that for Emily?
I've only sold one work. I mean, I already sold one work. I'm still studying, so I'm still, yeah, figuring out how to network and find the people that are interested in actually spending money on it, because I do get very positive feedback from most sites, but then yeah, the people don't have money or don't actually want to own art. So yeah, I guess that's like, yeah, a very specific thing to figure out, how to really find the people that also collect and want to own art.
Are there any guidelines for making like a commercial art? That's something bad to say, right? Or not? Can I say?
For me, it's not.
No?
No.
You think about being commercial as well as an artist?
It's part of the art practice, for me at least.
I think that sometimes also should be more of a focus, because in art school it was only about like the concept and about what the work is about, but in the end you also want to sell work to try to continue making work. And I think in this exhibition it was the first time that I tried to focus on making it more commercial by framing it and printing it and using like the museum glass and stuff. So before, I only tried to link the work and the way to how to present it to the concept. So it's actually a different way of working it out in the presentation. But I think it should, you should be able to also focus on the commercial part of showing the work.
Do you think your work is commercial, Annabelle?
I don't know. I don't think so. But I think it's also good to think about like commerce, because in the end, yeah, if you want to make money off of it and you want to live, some way you have to be. But in the end, I think, how much are you going to sell and how much are you going to be like supported by through funds? Like, is it really enough to live off if you sell everything? Because if you sell everything all the time and it's time consuming to make something, then at some point it stops. So I don't know. For me, it's a question mark, but it's also important to have commercial aspects in thinking, but not having to change your way of making art. And maybe like the way how you talk about it, how you express, and the way you network, or not that I'm doing it very well, but
it's really difficult to find balance in like making commercial work and still trying to hold on to the concept or like the.
Yeah, but the work doesn't have to be commercial if you like thought on, if you thought on commercial aspects of it, you can still have conceptual work.
Yeah.
Would you say the work that is at the gallery right now is commercial for you? Probably is the most.
Or? I think mostly the present way of presenting it. So the work itself, like the photo, isn't really commercial. But I think the way I try to present it by framing it, adding the museum glass, and printing it this way, I think that's like I try to make it more attractive for people to buy it. But yeah, the work itself isn't. I didn't make it out of like a commercial, from a commercial starting point.
Yeah, and Emily, your work exists of like 12 smaller works or something around 12. Right?
28.
Yeah. Okay, that's
yeah. Yeah.
Is that a smart thing to do commercial wise?
Yeah, I do. I think I am starting to consider this and when making art. Would I also buy it, maybe? But not as, like you said, also not as the starting point or the reason to even make work, but just to think, like, is this something that, I don't know, I would want to hang on my wall or something? It's just something to consider, I think. And my works that I have in the exhibition are quite small, but by putting them together, they become one installation. I kind of like that about it. It's like maybe a matter of accessibility again. Like, I don't know, I could see someone just wanting one of them and already supporting me that way. But maybe someone is as interested to actually want all of them and then they have a full installation. In general, I also want to say that I think it shouldn't be such a secret that artists also have to live off something. And I think it's like a very, a reasonable claim to make also, because we put so much time also in studying art and making good quality work as well. So why not also make it commercial? I think everybody does that by studying something they want to earn money in the end. So I don't think it's a bad thing to survive as an artist.
It probably will get easier if you are supported by a gallery.
Mm.
Are you? Do you have any connections with a gallery except Gallery Bart?
No, not really yet. No.
Is that something that you aim for?
Not really.
No.
Question mark. I have no idea.
I think it would be nice to be like represented by a gallery. Also because they go to fairs and stuff where you can, be out there and sell your work, and you get. People see your work and I think it's probably more, there's a bigger chance to sell work also and to show your work to the world. So I think it's, for me, it's interesting.
And how do you see the role of art spaces and museums? Are they accessible for you to get your work in a museum?
I think it's very, very, sounds very far-fetched always.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a very closed, very almost elitist group of people who are way on the other spectrum of that we stand. At least that's my perception. Usually the art spaces that I visit, I could see usually either international artists or artists that are already like further down their career, like 10, 15 years ago when they finished school. Yeah, I don't see many young artists in exhibition spaces.
Is it also your experience, Emily?
Yeah, I have honestly no idea how you get into a museum as an artist. I have no idea. And it's usually also the same names of people that you mm-hmm. see on display there. It's always the same. So honestly, no idea.
Why would they do that?
The kind of collaboration they have with these artists have already proven to work. So they don't want to risk it not to work with someone new or something, I guess.
So how do you see the future, Dan?
Oh, that's a big question. Well, I think I'm looking at it the same way as Annabelle said, to just focus on trying to make a living out of making art. And also to just continue making work and keep staying dedicated to making work and just continue the way I'm doing it now, because I think it's going in the right direction. So yeah.
Emily?
I'm focusing on finishing art school, I guess. But in general, I think I'm quite optimistic, actually. I think the good thing you learn in art school is to be creative, and I think that can get you many places. And I think what I'm starting to learn also is that I will find a way to survive either way. Art will always be part of my life. If it has to be the main source of income, I'm not sure yet. I don't mind as long as I have time to continue making art, I think. And with this this point of view, I think I'm already a step further than I used to be. I don't feel this intense pressure that this, like, I have to become rich and famous by being an artist. That's just not that realistic. I will always make art, I think, one way or the other, and everything else is not that important, I think.
So the further we go with this round, the more difficult it is to have even better answer, but Annabelle.
Yeah, I think I already said it. Just to be able just to make art as like the main thing, doesn't have to be 100% of the time, but like the main thing, and that I can invest my time and money and emotional efforts into it. Yeah, that'd be nice. Then it can actually grow to a place where I'm very, very happy with my work.
How do I see my future? Positively, I guess, for now. I'm recently in the void, so I'm working through getting a job and figuring all the question marks that have been raised this podcast. So I hope to keep on making work, and as long as I have a studio, I can. And if it gets in the background for half a year, then that may be so. But I, as Emily said, it will be always present.
So this is the end of episode 1, The Big Void. Thank you all for listening, and thanks to all my guests. We will put the links of all of your... You guys have a website, I guess? Yep. We put it in the show notes, and also the Platform BK, and there was another link you described, Oliver.
Stichting Aanvang.
Stichting Aanvang. We put it in the show notes to look it up for you guys. Yeah, well, see you later at the...
Next episode.
Yeah. See, you
see you next time.
See you next time at the next... No, yeah, at the next
podcast, so...
Yeah, but episodes episode. Yeah, podcast of episodes.
Yeah, but you don't see it. You hear me next time.
Me next time.
Stay tuned for the next episode. Bye.
Bye.